Welcome to the Launch Button Podcast, where we allot the secrets of successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors who found the courage to hit the launch button and take control of their destiny. Join me, Hugh Zaretsky, bestselling author, seasoned real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur, as we dive deep into inspiring stories and invaluable lessons that will empower you to break free from the ordinary and pursue your true passions. Are you feeling trapped in a job that drains your passion and leaves you yearning for more? Are you ready to accelerate your business and or real estate investing to take it to the next level? It's time to ignite your dreams and embrace the limitless possibilities that life has to offer. Get ready to launch into the life you've always desired by pressing the launch button. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Launch Button Podcast. Today, we want to talk about how you can go out there and do something for the very first time and have a big impact. Now, Sharon Lecter has a theory, and it says, when was the last time you did something for the very first time? And it's always an opportunity when we do something for the first time to go out there and change and to push our boundaries. So my question for you is, when was the last time you did something for the first time? For me, it was just a week or so ago when we ran the High Rocks in New York. Now, every couple of years, I have that one friend that's always like, hey, let's go do a race or competition. And since I'm competitive, I'm like, sure, we'll give it a try. And, you know, I've known her since college. We've been friends now for, it's got to be like 30 years. And she'd always get me to do one of these races, one of these things. First, we did a city challenge. And then we did a Spartan. And so this time I was coming off a cruise and she's like, hey, I got the ticket. Want to go do the High Rocks with me? I said, sure. Only 2.5 weeks to train, which is not normal. I mean, I've got friends that typically train for marathons for a year. Then I've got other friends that do it for 90 days. So oftentimes we're not normal as entrepreneurs and we jump into opportunities to do things for the very first time. And I want you, all the listeners out there, to have the courage to go ahead and do that. So one of the questions a lot of people have is, hey, what's a High Rocks race? I haven't heard of that before. So a High Rocks race is a competition for anybody that's into fitness and can run a bit, but also likes to work out with machines and do different exercises. So let me just understand what it is. It's a new phenomenon coming on, chasing the Spartan. It's after the CrossFit. It's just a new race that's coming up. And what it is there's 8 stations and you run 1 kilometer in between each station. So you go out, you run 1 kilometer, then you do, in this case, maybe the ski erg, then you do sled pull, burpee broad jumps, you do rowing, you do farmer's carries, sandbag, and wall ball lunges. So there's 8 different exercises, but between each one, you run 1 kilometer. And so it's just a great fun opportunity to do it, unlike the Spartan, where you're not having to do things that you may not normally do. Here in New York City, it's really hard to train throwing a javelin and or climbing ropes. So being able to use like the ski erg or the rower machine is a lot easier to train on. Now, with 2 weeks, we didn't really have a lot of time to train. So we probably trained the least for this race, but it was just a challenge, right? It was just a challenge to go out there and do something different and to get ourselves motivated. And as entrepreneurs, business owners, it's a challenge sometimes to find ways to keep you motivated and keep learning and doing new things and break out of those routines, you know? And so that was the opportunity for me. So every time we do something, there's an opportunity to learn, there's an opportunity to grow, there's an opportunity to push your boundaries. So let's talk about some of the things that I learned during this. Number one, you definitely should give yourself enough time to train. You know, only having 2 weeks, I just had to make sure I could run 5 miles, which is 8 kilometers for our non-Canadian friends, is, you know, the equivalent of roughly 5 miles of running. So making sure I was able to go ahead and do that. So make sure my endurance was up. And then I was able to find some exercises to train online. But again, 2 weeks, not a lot of time to do it. But there's definitely some cheat codes as you get into this. And just because we haven't done something or just because we don't have a lot of time, we don't want to say no to opportunities, right? I have that theory a lot of people quote me on that if it's 70 to 80% of what you want, you have to say yes. And I was looking for an opportunity to up my fitness game. I was looking for an opportunity to get out of my comfort zone. And this definitely did it, whether my friend Freya knew it or not. Right. This actually did it. It pushed me out of my comfort zone, got me to do something new. We'll probably do it again next year, just so that we can actually train for it this time and see it. But this year it was just like, here's a challenge. Here's our time. We want to hit it. Let's go do it. So a couple things with that. Number one, say yes to those opportunities. It's never going to be the right time. It's not perfect time. And I was coming off a cruise. I didn't have a lot of time to train. I had to do a speech at another event. So my training wasn't going to be optimal for it, but it was an opportunity. And we've got to say yes to those. And you got to recognize those when they come. And it was fun, right? I got a chance to catch up with a friend of mine. We haven't spent a lot of time together, and we're going to be on the race course for a couple hours. So it was a good time for us to catch up and do these types of things while being physically active. And, you know, that's one of my drivers is that, you know, I'm movement centered. So I think best when I'm running, I think best when I'm doing things. I've always played sports. It's just one of the things that really gets me going. So whatever it is for you, that you stay in movement, stay in however you like to think and learn. So you put yourselves in those situations. So let's just break this down for a sec. Number one is preparation. So having more time to train. Number two is diet, right? A lot of people don't understand how much the pre-event leading into it, you're pulling your hydration, all of those things play into it. So for me, yeah, I've been on a pretty strict diet since our cruise. When we were out there and we all were working out, unlike other people on the cruises, we were working out and I had a goal to some weight, drop some pant sizes, and I'm down like 2 pant sizes, which is awesome. It just redistributing the weight. So about 10 pounds on that. So while going through this, it was an opportunity to say, okay, let's go ahead and carb up because I needed to carb up for the race, but I overcarb. So one of the things we want to make sure you do, and everybody tells you this, you know, don't change your diet too much beforehand, but I was gonna have pasta. I hadn't had New York pizza. And if you know, I know Chicago pizza's out there, but New York pizza is definitely number one. And I hadn't had pizza in like 3 months. And I was like, oh, this will be an opportunity. So I got a couple slices of pizza. The night before to carb up, I made some pasta, which I don't normally eat. And so I actually overcarb. So that's one thing to be potential on there. Number two on that is, you know, she had created these uniforms from our college to go ahead and do that. My shirt ended up being a little bit too long. And we didn't have time to do it. So definitely go through your race gear. And this applies to anything, right? Our wardrobe is important when we go speak on stages. So everything we're talking about with a High Rocks race equates to your business and also equates to running events, equates to getting on stages and everything like that. So we got to make sure we're fueled for the opportunity. So if it's go speak on stages, we want to make sure that we're at our optimal state to get ourselves into that. So fueling. So do you eat in the morning? Some people do intermittent fasting, but again, we're going to change it on race day. And we happen to be running at 9 p.m. at night. So it was a little bit different. Had a lot of practice of running, you know, get myself fueled up for a night race. And so that was definitely a little different having to go ahead and do that. So with that night race, you know, going off at 9 p.m., so to change my fueling, and it was a good practice for when we do it in the future that if we're running that late, how to fuel properly. So I carved up again in the morning, and that's where we overcarved a little bit throughout the day and then at lunch. So definitely need to pull that back, but it allowed us to make it through the race because we had all that extra energy and things like that. If I'm speaking on stages, then I want to make sure that I eat my meals. You know, I don't have anything in my stomach 2 hours beforehand, those types of things. Or if it is, it's something light. A lot of protein for that. And in the race, I'm doing a lot of carbs because 24 hours beforehand, and then do more protein as we approach the race. So just understand how you're fueling yourself for that. The wardrobe, like I said, that comes second. What's our look at that event? Am I in a t-shirt like I am today? Some groups I speak in t-shirts. Some groups I speak in suits and ties. Some groups I speak in a suit, jacket, and jeans, right? So what is that audience expecting? And what is your optimal performance? So in this, you know, we were in race gear, my shirt happened to be a little too long, and that became a problem on the rower because as I was rowing, my shirt got caught underneath the seat as it was sliding up and down, and I had to hop off and change when I could have gone much further in that, which put a little more pressure on Freya. Even though she's great, she does these things all the time, these types of races, not High Rocks necessarily, but other races, so she could handle it. But I got stuck there. In fact, even my shoes got stuck in the rowing machine. So when you guys get to the rower at the High Rocks, make sure whoever has the biggest feet goes first. Little tip there. Whoever has the biggest feet goes first so you can set the rowing machine where your feet go into. And that way, when you switch in and out, it's not causing an issue on there. So there's tip number two for the High Rocks race. We talked about, you know, fueling yourself. On there also, and then hydration during the race. And I learned this when I did a half marathon with my sister down in Florida, that I am uber competitive. And because she wouldn't stop for water, I wouldn't stop for water. And then when I cross the finish line at that race, I actually cross the finish line and don't remember the last 2 miles of the race, completely blacked out. As soon as I crossed the finish line, I passed out and ended up in a meditet because I wasn't hydrating. So don't use my lesson. Don't overdo it like that. And so at the High Rocks race, they're going to give you some water. They're also going to give you a power drink. For me, it was a little too much. So I had to take the water and the power drink and mix it together. And that was enough for it to go through. It was just a little too, the consistency was a little too thick. The first couple I did, and then it became that. But you've got to fuel during the race. So you got to figure that out. And everybody was telling you about 30 minutes into the race, you want to start fueling because that's when your body, before your body needs it. So bring your packets, bring your goop chewables, depending on what you like, bring your legendary bars for Bruce out there. Whatever you like to eat while you're racing, that you can go ahead and do that so you have that. But make sure you are hitting the fuel tables. Now, typically those are coming in or out of the stations, right? Before you go off your run. While you're running, there isn't anything out there during that 1 kilometer run, depending on how fast you run, but just want to make sure you do it before you head out or you head into your station. So just understand where those are for those of you guys doing it for the first time. All right. So we cover those first two. So wardrobe, fueling, hydration, there's your first three. And that's important when I speak on stages too. I'll typically drink hot water and honey. So it coats my throat. So in case I'm in a very dry area like Utah or Denver, where it's more dry compared to the East Coast or West Coast, just understand, your drinks, or if your throat's bothering you a little bit, how to coat it, how to get yourself in the right fueling situation for you, and hydration. So now that we've done that, the next one is, we covered those two, and we talked about make sure the person with the biggest feet goes. There's number four. Number five of that is the sled push. Okay, the sled push, if you're doing co-ed, the sled push is pretty tough for the ladies, because it's about 335 pounds. And you're pushing that, typically it's four times up and back in the course. At the New York one, it was actually six times. And we found that towards the ends of it, it was much thicker. And in the middle, it was easier. So if you're going to do something like that on those courses, allow the guy to start the sled push on both ends and then have the woman do it in the middle. It'll make things a little easier. It glides a little better for you in those things. But once you get that sled moving, it's easier to stay in, anything that starts in motion stays in motion. So we want to keep it going as long as possible with that, but definitely try and have the guys keep up on the ends where it's a little harder to go ahead and do that. So there's your next tip on there. Number six, make sure you have a partner when you're doing this. And just like in business, just like in speaking, that is going to be there supporting you and understands your goals with that event. If one of you is trying to, be in the top 10, or you're just trying to, go through the race, there's definitely different expectations with that. And we watch some partners really have a, meltdowns and breakdowns on the course and don't want that to happen to you. So if you're doing, we did the mixed race, the co-ed there. And so we just went into it saying, hey, we're going through this. We're doing it together for our first one. We're both athletic. We both understand that. She probably could have done it faster than I could, full disclosure. But we were both in there going like, we're going to work as this as a team and make it through. And it was a great time. We got 2 hours to, an hour and 50 minutes to talk with each other, catch up, do those types of things while also getting through the workouts. And it was definitely strenuous, right? Heart rates got up to 170 beats, at different areas, close to 200 in different ones. So a lot of the High Rocks is maintaining your heart rate so that you can complete the different exercises. Because certain things are going to push your heart rate higher or lower. So it's about being able to breathe and maintain that when we come off the runs into the stations and getting into that next exercise. And the last one, it's the last exercise, the wall balls, which if you don't know what those are squats, with a 15-pound ball that you're going to toss up. Sounds pretty easy, but you got to hit a little target. That's about a 1 foot target that you're going to toss it up to. There's different heights for the men and the women. If you don't hit the target, your rep doesn't count. And if you're not going deep enough, your rep doesn't count. So there's actually a judge there counting your reps and doing it. So you're supposed to do 100. I think we did between 150 and 200 because that's the one thing we really hadn't practiced. So definitely practice the wall ball so you're nailing your target. And that applies to your business as well. Definitely practice, your close and your speech. Definitely practice your close and your sales presentation. Definitely practice that. So when you get to that part, the very end, and it's time to sign the contract. It's time to go to the next level. It's time to get people enrolled into whatever you want them to enroll into. You got to make sure you practice that. And that's where you're going to be tired. That's where you're going to be at the end of it. And that's what was great about the wall balls is it was the very end. You've already run 8 kilometers. You've already done 7 other exercises. And here you are just burning out your quads, trying to get this ball to hit this 1 foot target over and over. You got to do it 100 times. And I think we did about 150 to 200 reps to get it there. But there was no stopping us at that point. And there should be no stopping you in your business at that point either. Because it's getting across the finish line. And if you get, no matter how many times you got to do it, you got to practice your sales call. You got to practice your closing. You got to practice how to get people involved in your business. That's the number one thing that's going to get you there. And it's going to get you across the finish line. And that's what it's about. It's about finishing the race. It's not always about starting. My friend Greg says it all the time. He says, you know, a lot of people like to start, but it's all about what are we going to finish. A lot of people really good at starting. They're not very good at finishing things. So let's make sure we finish. Let's make sure we get things across the finish line. Let's make sure we hit our targets. That's really what we want to do. So that's how the High Rocks race and the opportunity came about. And we said yes to the opportunity, just like you've said yes to your business. And these are how the High Rocks lessons relate to your business. So I said we should probably say 3. I think we hit 7 on here on how to go ahead and do that. But I want to make sure that you understand that there's opportunities all around you. That was an opportunity to connect. Every time I travel somewhere, I try and set up opportunities to connect with people because it's about that. It's about building that consistency, just like in High Rocks. It's about building that ability so that you guys can go out there and do that and breaking things down into manageable things to do. Like we call it chunking, right? A 1 kilometer run doesn't seem like that far. You do it 8 times, it's pretty far. Every time we did something, it was like, oh, it's not that far because we're able to chunk it. And using that High Rocks model there, you can chunk things in your business. You can break them down into those smaller tasks and get those things done. Check the box. Go ahead and do that. Just like recording a podcast. You just had to go out there and do it. And you had to record it and get it done. So my challenge for you, as you have listened to this podcast, if you watched it here, and if you're watching it on YouTube, you're going to see some of the videos and some of the things like that we have from there, some of the pictures and stuff. But what are you going to do for the very first time? 2, how are you going to prepare for it? Hydration, fuel, right? Your wardrobe, your practicing, your ending and your closing so that you can go ahead and do that. And then 3, when are you going to take that action? Because it's all about saying yes. You know, we talked about it in the Launch Button book. It's all about consistent daily action leads to success. Doing something over and over and over again get you across that finish line. So go out there, make it happen for you. Look forward to the next episode of the podcast. We got some special guests coming up for you soon. So check it out and let me know how I can help you in the future. If you like this podcast and you want to say yes to the opportunities, go ahead and put a comment below and I'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on the Launch Button Podcast, your gateway to unlocking your true potential and pursuing your passions. Don't let the journey end here. For more empowering insights, valuable resources, exclusive content, and free giveaways, visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com. At The Launch Button, we're dedicated to helping you break free from the ordinary and embrace a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Dive deeper into our episodes, access bonus materials, and connect with like-minded individuals on our website and our private community group. Are you ready to take the next steps towards your dreams? Subscribe to the Launch Button Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and never miss an episode. Remember, the power to transform your life lies within your grasp. Press the Launch Button and soar towards success. For more updates, behind-the-scenes content, exclusive offers, follow us on social media, join the conversation using hashtag the Launch Button, and share your journey with our vibrant community. Thank you for being a part of the Launch Button family. Together, let's ignite our dreams and embark on this journey together of growth and discovery. Visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com and let's continue to launch your greatness. See you there.